This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Well, it's official. Saturday marked the first day of summer. We hope you found some nice way to mark the solstice, watching that sun go down late, or maybe just raising a glass of whatever. In years past, this summer might have meant family reunions, trip to the beach, maybe that long-awaited visit to the Grand Canyon. But as COVID-19 cases persist in Michigan and other states face rising hospitalizations, planning that summer vacation involves a lot of new factors. Checking in now is Debbie Haas. She's Vice President of Travel for AAA Michigan. Debbie, nice to have you. Welcome to Stateside.
Thanks, April. Great to be here.
What have you been hearing from people in terms of travel this summer? I imagine there was a huge freeze-up in March and April, but are people booking right now?
Yeah, they are. It's interesting because we follow a number of sources and interview our members on a regular basis, and people are very anxious to travel, and they want to travel as quickly as they feel it's safe. And so what they're watching are, you know, one, they're looking at, is COVID-19 spreading? And great news for Michiganders is that our state has done a great job of really bending the curve, and so they're gaining confidence from that. And we're finding that people are actually booking very near in. The things they have the most confidence in right now are taking road trips and driving. And so that's also something that is really helping people think about Michigan as a place to travel.
Mm-hmm. So they're thinking about destinations relatively close to home?
Yeah, you know, there's a range. The highest comfort level is in the shorter type of road trips, you know, something they can do within the day, get to their destination, or they're even thinking longer. Like, we have folks who are booking trips to national parks, other places out in nature, or places where they feel maybe they're going to go to a beach or do something where they just feel a lot of confidence and safety.
What do you think is the reason behind the recent increases in people's travel planning? What are you hearing? Is it some of the health indicators, or do you think people are just cooped up and kind of losing it?
Well, you know, it's probably a combination of all of those factors, but the research that we've been doing and others are doing that we follow is, you know, they're also looking to what the government is saying. So the CDC and state and local officials are giving them cues as to whether or not they should have confidence traveling. And they're also looking at whether there are domestic restrictions between states, and they're looking at availability of flights and also deals. All of those things factor into each individual's personal decision.
What about international travel? Is that even on the table right now?
Well, international travel has certainly been the most affected. And unless you are someone who has a passport from another country or certain residency, chances are that it's off the table for the moment. But, you know, as we talk with our cruise and tour providers, they are looking at opening up maybe on a regional basis as soon as July in Europe. So really that's catering to the Europeans. And some of the countries in Europe are looking at, as they go through July, opening up for international travelers that could even include Americans.
Oh, wow. So there is a chance that people might have an opportunity to take something like a river cruise this summer.
Potentially toward the end of the summer, that's right. And another country to watch that's really out front is Iceland. They, you know, have a small local population. They've really been managing their protocols in a manner that is looking at being able to open up to Americans on the early side versus other countries. So I think that could very well be a possibility this summer.
Do you hear a lot of people saying, I'm looking for a hidden gem? I'm looking for a place that might, you know, might be a little less well-traveled that I can feel safe going?
You know, I think inherent in that question is the idea of avoiding crowds. And definitely we're seeing in the research and in the feedback that we're getting that people are gravitating toward places where they feel like they can social distance, they can be in nature, they can be with the group of folks that they know well or their loved ones. Hidden gems have greater appeal for that reason. And the good news for Michigan is that we have quite a few of those.
You know, there are so many ways to travel. Let's drop destinations for a minute and just talk about the getting there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing from people in the industry about things like car rentals and other kinds of vehicles and ways that people are moving around?
Yeah, it's interesting because certainly personal vehicles are the most comfortable and popular. And we are seeing actually, and we have for the last couple months, increasing bookings of rental cars. And part of the way people are using their rental cars is they're renting a car that's either different or bigger or nicer than the one they have at home, or maybe to keep from putting miles on the one they have at home. And RVs are super popular right now. There's huge demand, people renting RVs so that they can go out on the road with their family.
Boy, it's the the ultimate in avoiding any potential risk from a hotel or a cottage. Use your vehicle to sleep in.
Right.
What kind of safety and hygiene precautions do you see businesses taking, like hotels and rentals?
Sure. Well, you know, hotels have been working really hard to make sure that they can provide the safest experience possible. And, you know, they're doing a number of things. Certainly, they've increased their hygiene protocols around disinfecting common areas. They're providing hand sanitizer at every reasonable point. As you look at the room, they're making that a place of greater confidence by disinfecting in a more advanced way. They're removing unnecessary items. And many of them are even saying, hey, our default's going to be, once you check in, we're not going to enter the room unless you ask us to. So that becomes something within your control as a traveler. But there's this big focus on touchless that is also being worked into the various things like check-in to reduce the number of touch points you have, just to give everyone more of a social distancing experience.
You know, COVID cases in Michigan have decreased over the past month. We're still looking at the most recent numbers from like the first full summer weekend. There are other states outside of Michigan just seeing their cases spike. And we've heard so many discussions about preparing for a second surge. How are you advising people for their travel throughout the summer? You know, if they're not in a position to just pick up and go this weekend, but they're trying to decide, is it worth spending money on a trip maybe in July, late July or August? I mean, is there such a thing as a midterm range right now for what's wise to plan for?
Sure. You can go a couple of different ways. If you're looking to simply book a hotel online, I'll give you the example from our website, AAA.com. where we offer AAA rates on hotels that very often include the opportunity to cancel. So you can make your booking, you know that you have the room held for you, but you have the possibility of canceling. So it's really important when you're booking online that you make sure you know the terms and conditions of what you're booking. Another approach is to work through a travel advisor, because the travel advisors are there to help you make informed decisions. And they can help you really sort through that range of options, because things are changing all the time. And it's the travel advisor's job to keep up with all of that.
I mean, do you think it's going to be possible for businesses like hotels, you know, to make their businesses viable this summer with conditions like that?
I do. Because when you look at the rebound, in a sense, that hotels are leading the way in, it's very encouraging. Now, of course, every hotel property has its own economics. It depends on, you know, how they're set up. Are they set up in a manner, for example, where the rooms have balconies that people feel comfortable that they can hang out in if, you know, they need that as an alternative? It depends on where they are. And, you know, it really depends on their ability to get the word out of how they're adapting to this environment as well.
I mean, obviously, people have needed a break ever since March. And there may be some families that have not spent time together. What is your sense of the kind of travel year late 2020 is going to be, and just sort of how we're going to think about our time away?
Well, people are going to focus on the things that matter most to them. And it's going to be a highly personal decision. So if what they've been missing are certain individuals in their lives, they're going to find a way to be with those people. You know, they're going to come to an agreement on what everyone feels comfortable with. You know, there's a variety of ways to do that. If you're able to drive to get to your loved ones, then you could do that. Or maybe you can meet somewhere in the middle. Another thing that is increasingly clear is that airplane travel is coming back. Domestically, we're seeing about 20% of the prior year volume in the level of people flying. And that's a fivefold increase from where we were at the low. So increasingly, people are flying. They're feeling comfortable with it. Airlines are actually taking a stand on protocols, increasing hygiene. And, you know, as we look toward the end of the year, there are so many holidays where people have traditions around being together. I think people will find a way and they'll use the best available options at that time.
Debbie Haas, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, April. It's been a pleasure.
Debbie Haas is Vice President of Travel for AAA Michigan. Now, if you're making summer plans that involve flying, or if you have to go somewhere to help out family or for work, you may have a lot of questions about what to expect. Angela Frakes joins us now. She's Vice President of Facilities and Terminal Operations at Detroit Metro Airport, otherwise known as DTW. Angela, welcome to Stateside.
My pleasure.
Between business travel and the time that people spend at the airport on layover and people who are coming for recreation, we tend to think of DTW as a very busy place in normal times. What's it been like at the airport the past couple of months?
So for the past couple of months, due to reasons obvious to COVID-19, we certainly see a decrease in passenger traffic. So that's been the general overlay of what you'll see when you come to the airport. So it's not necessarily business as usual for us.
What looks different at the airport right now from a safety and sanitation perspective?
So what you're going to probably see when you first come into the airport is signage. We want you to be safe. We want you to wear face covers, and we absolutely want you to practice social distancing. Additional to the signage, we have our public address system, which continues to message, we want you to be safe at the airport. We want you to continue to abide by the regulations of wearing face coverings, and absolutely we want you to social distance.
Is face covering mandatory at DTW right now?
Per the governor's executive orders, when you are in an enclosed facilities, face coverings are required.
Have there been any issues with getting people on board with that?
I would suggest to you that probably 80% of our passengers and more employees absolutely comply to that, and the airport continues to strive the requirement of wearing face coverings. And again, we do that through messaging, signage, you know, our public address system. We certainly encourage employees and passengers to wear face coverings so that we all remain safe.
Airport workers are frontline workers during this moment. Is there a standard of safety that the storefronts and departments at DTW are asked to maintain, or are different stores and departments sort of doing their own homework and doing their own coordination?
So you have various tenants that reside under the roof of the airport. We have our airlines that have a large footprint here. We have our food and retail concessions, which also have a footprint here. And I believe as you walk into the terminal, of course, you're going to be customer-facing with our airlines, also with the TSA. And what you will see are sneeze guards or plexiglass barriers that are placed at the ticket counters and as you move through the TSA checkpoints. Once you've moved through the TSA checkpoints, there will be a sundry of signs and continued messaging that reinforces social distancing and the use of face covers. We also have additional signage that are contained within each of the retail establishments.
The thing that people tend to think about when they think of air travel is air quality within spaces and the sheer number of surfaces that one moves past and may need to come into contact with at the terminal. Are there things that can be done about either of those factors to improve people's safety right now?
We continue to not only maintain regular frequencies, but we've increased frequencies for cleaning. Our water fountains, our passenger seating, any of our flat surfaces, our escalator handrails, our toilet seats, all of those are areas where we've increased our focus and we've increased our frequencies for cleaning. Additionally, we are using electrostatic sprayers, which is another element of disinfectant, which we hope will gain confidence of our passengers and employees who use our facilities.
Not asking you to speak for the airlines, but generally speaking, how full are the flights right now?
That I would not have specific information on, as it varies by airlines, so you'd have to defer to the airlines themselves.
Okay. We have talked to a couple of people, members of Congress, for example, who've had need to travel by air, and we hear that there's just a lot of physical distance on those airplanes. It's probably, I mean, has it been a while since you've seen conditions like this at the airport?
Actually, I've never seen conditions like this until the last 2.5 or 3 months.
You know, one of the first things I thought when the restrictions on travel and the drop in the travel industry became obvious this spring was thinking back to 9/11 and another period when air travel became very different for Americans. How would you say this transition is going, given the speed with which DTW and the airlines and all the partners had to come together to figure out some solutions?
If I had to make a distinction between 9/11 and COVID-19, 9/11 was very short in duration. That was a one-day event, but it certainly did change the face of the industry in flight travel. If you look at COVID-19, it's certainly longer in duration, and I think because of the long-term effects of this, which are really unknown at this point, we don't have anything to necessarily reference as a prior experience that we can, you know, leverage fixes for.
There's not much to compare it to. Yeah.
No, it isn't. They're uniquely different.
One of the things that we've been talking to people about is that this is a period when a lot of things kind of came to a halt, and it may be an opportunity to talk about what might be different going forward. Have you heard any conversations about whether a return to normal truly would mean a return to normal or whether there might be some things that would be different in travel in the years to come?
Well, given the fact that I don't have that crystal ball, but if I were to just make some guesses at this, I would certainly suggest that prior operations and the way our passengers use our facility may look a lot different in the future than what they look like today or what they look like in the past. Certainly encourage passengers to use as much technology as we can. For example, you know, having your boarding pass on your cell phone and making their transition through our facilities as touchless as possible. It's really kind of hard to predict, you know, what those fundamental changes will be in how we operate in our current facilities today.
I appreciate your point about there not being a crystal ball for this. Angela, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it and wish the best to everybody working out at the airport right now.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Angela Frakes is Vice President of Facilities and Terminal Operations at DTW.